Hello and welcome to the Jonathan Bell Show. This is a show documenting my journey after quitting my 9-to-5 job to pursue a career being a creative. Thank you for tuning in. What's up, folks? Welcome to another episode of Behind the Mic. And today, behind the mic, we have Mark Stroud. Mark, how are you doing today?
Hey, pretty good.
Oh, that's good. So Mark and I know each other from Twitter. When I put if anybody wanted to come on the show, Mark reached out. And Mark, you are an artist. Can you tell everyone what type of artist you are?
Oh, God. I guess I fall into the dark art category right now, but I'm trying to go past that. I just don't know where yet. I'm still working that out. A lot of that I'm working out, not in posts, but behind the scenes. I guess mostly I'm an illustrator, kind of in the fine art category. It's hard to place myself because I really don't know.
Well, before we get too much into that, can you let everybody know what exactly do you mean by dark artist?
That is sort of a new... it started with, I started hearing about it from Chet Czar, who used to work in effects and then transitioned to being a painter. And he mostly just paints monsters. And then through that, he found a bunch of other people that did the same thing. And of late, they've sort of grouped together. And my art isn't exactly, you know, flowers and puppies, and but so I sort of fall into that category, though I didn't plan to be in that category. It's just easier to tell people that.
Okay, so you have like a little, so what would be an example of something that you've drawn recently that you consider dark?
I just completed, though I didn't intend it to be a series, I did about a series of four I guess you'd call them pencil drawings, but in reality, they're sort of redactive pencil drawings. Mostly it's taking, I do a simple sketch. I fill the bulk of the page with compressed charcoal, which is really dark. It almost looks black, but it really is just probably almost the darkest gray you can think of. It just looks that way when you photograph it. And from there, I take an eraser and I erase out portions of it. So it makes this sort of ghostly reverse image and
looks like a negative kind of
photo.
Yeah, like a negative kind of.
Or an ultraviolet photo, if you've ever seen one of those, an ultraviolet camera, something like that. So it creates this ghostly image. And I did three or four of them, and one of them was sort of, I didn't, you know, change anything. I said, oh, this is a ghost, and this is another spirit, and this is another one, and here's another one. And by the time I'm done, I had four of them. and I have a fifth in my head right now, but I can't seem to get it to work out. But yeah, and I've drawn other monsters and other stuff. Some of them have been what they call, you know, sort of automatic drawing, as I start one point and then I just, you know, scribble some shapes, and then I form the shapes into something coherent, or try to, and that becomes something. Sometimes they're, it just depends.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
But none
though.
Of it is sunny, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So it's more on the, like literally and kind of, figuratively darker type images.
Yeah. It's not necessarily meant to scare you, but like I said, it's not necessarily all fun and games. So,
and you said you wanted to start kind of transitioning to other stuff, or that's just where you're at now?
Yeah, you know what? I have no problem with cute stuff. I have no problem with bright colors and any of that other stuff. It's just for some reason my natural proclivity is to do dark stuff.
Well, I'm looking at your stuff right now, and I mean it's you're really good at it. The process that you just described with the charcoal and everything, that's traditional, I guess. It's not really digital. So that's what you, like, how did you get into, that type of art? Is it something that you started doing as a child, or like what mediums did you learn first and then kind of work your way towards the charcoal making that type of image?
The whole thing, the beginning of my art journey was in high school when a friend of mine drew pen and inks, and in high school he was pretty good. And that sparked it. And I would, you're enthused by your friends or whatever. And you start it and then you realize you suck and then you drop it.
I hear
and
you.
And then it just sort of, and then it sort of picks up again. It flares up, every few years and whatever. And at the time, I also wanted to be a musician. I spent a few years trying to learn an instrument, try to get bands together that never came together. And I came to the realization that, I like this, but I'm really not into it enough. If I was into it enough, I would have made something out of it. So I had to let that go, which, that was my first experience of basically letting a dream drop because you realize you're just not there. And then I floundered for, 20 years, just surviving. Working places and stuff, and somewhere in there, art picked up again. So I went to college, or back into college, really late in life. When did I start? 35. I was 35 at the time, and I was going to do computer art and all this other stuff, and games and all this, and that didn't really work to get out. And plus, I was at a state college, which didn't really facilitate any of that. And the computer side of it, I was trying to learn programming, and that didn't work out. And I shifted to graphic design because they didn't have an illustration major there at the time. They do now, but they didn't then. And long story short, graphic design program taught me what bad design was, and I was bad at design. And towards maybe my last semester there, last year really, I started to draw like semi-seriously and then constantly. And I realized that's what I wanted to do after I got out. But I had next to no training. I have had maybe one or two figurative art classes from the fine art department. And the first class I took didn't teach me anything. And the second class was just weird.
What do you mean by weird?
They taught from a kind of real sort of hippie vibe kind of teaching. So you were getting like, osmotically, you were getting technical stuff, but they weren't presenting it to you like that.
Oh, it was kind of like a figure it out while we're here type of the earth will guide you to draw what you want to draw type deal?
Not quite that bad, but it would be they told us to run outside, grab a stick. Then we would dip the stick in ink and do what's called blind contour, where you don't look at the paper but you look at the subject and you draw it, and it's meant to give you the feeling line. So you get that kind of verbiage all the time.
Did you glean anything off of that though?
Well, they had a really weird way of teaching you how to draw a figure. And it started with they were trying to teach you the main points of like the points of where the bone structure is in a person. And I remember the points, oddly enough, but the way it was structured from the inside out, and not in a skeletal way or anything. It was lines, points, and circles and stuff like that. So, and from that, you built out into a person, basically. And it was odd to me. It's very nonlinear. At the end of it, you got it. But it was like, you know, wasn't there a quicker way to get me here?
But that'll stick with you for the rest of your life, probably.
Well, like, there's a top part of your pelvis called the iliac crests. It's the point of your pelvis that sticks out. If you see a person that's really not super thin, but, you know, kind of lean in that area, your iliac crests will stick out a little bit from your skin. Stuff like that. I remember that. And the importance of it is to show you outside of the body where your pelvis sits. Hmm. So you can just do it. But they don't tell you, like, well, people's pelvises are kind of like a bowl. And you can move the bowl around. And it's like, I understand that better than telling me what the iliac crests are. Right, because I understand the underlying structure now rather than just, well, these are the points. I'm like, well, thanks.
Right, so you've yeah, that does sound yeah, but I mean, to their credit, you still remember it to this day.
Yeah, I do. I don't use any of it hardly, but yeah.
So you finished those classes. You finished those. I said, so you finished those classes, and then what did you do after that?
I worked, but I was drawing the whole time. I started getting really serious. So I was drawing every day. I sucked, but I was drawing. And I've never stopped drawing. Some days I get a lot done. Some days I get a little bit done, but I always do something. It never stops. And I also adopted the entire philosophy of, well, not a philosophy, the approach of trying to get better all the time. It is the single driving force behind a lot of, at least on the technical side of it, is to keep moving ahead. I don't want to rest on any laurels. I want to keep getting better and better and better. And there's very few professions where there's no upward ceiling. You know what I mean?
Right.
Most jobs just stop you at whatever, you know, fixed thing. And art has no fixed point. You can progress or not as much as you want. And at least technically, I prefer to progress. And that has moved beyond, in some cases, beyond just the technical, because I'm a figurative artist, so I draw people 99% of the time. And it's more than just drawing people. It's like, okay, well, you got a handle on drawing people. Well, what about, let's make people interact with other people. Let's make people interact with other things. Let's draw more than just portraits, which I do a lot of portraits, but I'm bored with portraits. But I haven't explored everything you can do with portraits, because there's more than just drawing heads and busts. There's three-quarter poses. There's adding vignettes, which is basically not a full illustration, but you draw enough of a background and a setting with a person in it. It's like what they used to call spot illustrations in part. And I haven't really pursued that. You know, there's a bunch of things, but the more things you add, the longer it takes to do them and the more thought it takes to do them. And, you know, dovetailing this into the whole social media experience, they want to be fed all the time. And this stuff takes longer for me to do than be just cranking out a bus portrait, you know, several times a week.
Right.
So I'm trying to balance all that. And because of that, because I jumped onto Instagram about 2 years ago, and I decided I was going to just steamroll in there. And so I was posting 7 days a week. And at the time, that seemed like a good idea. But 2 years later, I can't sustain it.
It is a lot. I mean, it's a lot.
I can't sustain it. And progress. See, I was killing my prime directive, right? I could not progress because I was having to come up with another idea or crank stuff out or flip through the sketchbook and, you know, take quick pictures of stuff that doesn't look too bad and post it. I just can't do it. And my audience, what little audience I command, wasn't growing. It hit a ceiling, which is fine. You hit those ceilings and you don't progress, at least in that way and whatever. But I was hitting that ceiling and I was burning out at the same time. You know, not burning out on art, but I was burning out on that pace. Just can't maintain it. So I told my audience, well, okay, what little audience I have. I told them, hey, okay, Monday for sure you get new stuff. After that, you get whatever my whim carries me to put up.
Right.
And that was okay for a few weeks. And then people stopped coming, you know, and what little I had was dwindling. And now I'm sort of sitting at about 250-ish, you know, there. But now I'm also starting to post 3 times a week. But then that's a more comfortable pace for me. I didn't know what my pace would be. All I could say to them was, Monday you get new stuff.
I totally understand where you're coming from, Mark. I mean, you and I do different types of art, but you're talking about this right now, and it just reminded me of something I was going through earlier this year, because I could take photographs that I know I could turn around quickly, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. to post. But there are some stuff that I do where I know it's going to take me like a whole day of me looking on the computer, like photoshopping, doing stuff, figuring out edits. And I started actually shying away from that because I knew it would take a long time and I wanted to put stuff out quicker. So I stopped doing like really, really detailed edits and stuff because I knew, like, I was like, I could either spend a whole day taking photos that I could post within the next week, or I could spend the next day and a half, you know, staring at my computer, trying to figure stuff out, this and that. And then, like, and I say a day and a half, but usually that stuff could turn from a day and a half to like 3 or 4 days trying to think of a concept that's different that I could actually work on and finish. And because, like you said, you're in such like a time crunch, or you want to, sometimes you just feel pressure to put stuff out. You don't go that route on purpose because you want to have something. And it took me a little bit. I'm like, I had to learn how to balance it, is to keep putting out stuff, but also make time for the stuff that, you know, I really wanted to do. It's kind of hard to balance out like that sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I wanted really higher quality work. I want more out of the finish of my work, right? Because I, you know, they tell you not to compare, and that's true. And I did that a lot, and that would be a problem. And, but now it's not so much I compare myself to the next rung or two on the ladder and feel inadequate. It's like, no, I'm striving to reach that rung and the rung after that. And the frustration is, what am I doing wrong? What am I not doing? And 99% of the time, the answer is, well, you need to just keep grinding. There's no, you know, magic answer to that necessarily. You just need to keep making work, and you need to keep making it as good as you can make it. And don't stop. And it still doesn't make it any less frustrating.
Right.
I didn't used to do, you know, calling back to an earlier question, you know, I also was doing digital early on too for a while. And I stopped doing, I probably do one digital painting a year now at this point, at this rate, but I wasn't, as an artist or just as a human, I wasn't satisfied with doing digital work. There's something about making stuff with your hands that, you know, resonates with me really strongly. And the flip side of it is it doesn't always look so good. And takes more thought and effort to make it look so good, even a drawing. And also I have a problem with working multiple days on one project. I don't usually want to spend more than 1 or 2 days tops, which is probably wrong. I should probably just take however long it takes to finish a thing. But you can drive yourself crazy second guessing yourself. And in certain media, you you don't get a second chance. If you screwed up, you screwed up.
Right.
Like that commission you had me do, I kept telling you it was wrong. And it's like, no, it's because I need to take another run at it. Because watercolor is kind of a performance. And, you know, this one didn't go so well. You know, I need to take another shot at it. Or I need to cool down a day or two and then take another run at it. Because the mistakes, you can't fix the mistakes. I mean, you can a little bit, but they become kind of obvious. And I am not good enough to not make them not obvious. So I need to do an entire new run.
But you learn a lot of stuff on that, I'm sure.
And even in, say, pencil work, you can just erase it out. It's like, well, graphite and, you know, charcoal and stuff like that, they go into the page. So there's a point if they're so deep into the grain of the page, it doesn't matter how much you erase. It's still there.
Right.
Unless you cover it. It's not like oil where you can just, you know, it takes forever to dry and you can just take a knife to it and just, you know, chip away or use turpentine or something and just rub it out and repaint it. You can't do that with some of these things. Oh, once it's down, it's down.
Yeah. But that's why a lot of your stuff that you put up on, it looks so good. I mean, you could tell that you spend some time on your line art, like seriously.
I need to spend more time on it, actually. That was one of my early goals. Because I taught myself, coming off of digital, I had taught myself to do things in a more or less value-oriented way. So it's shapes and shadows and light. And it isn't structure in that sense. When you do line art, you have to follow through on every detail. And painting and some other things, it's like, I kind of gloss over, right? Go glazy over details. And I also kind of want the audience to make up their own stuff into it. So I like some
We all know what you mean. Yeah. We know what you mean.
Anyway, I want some of that in there, and strict line work cuts all that out. And you know, unless you're doing sort of an animation style, but that has its own caveats. Like you use fewer lines, but they have to be the right lines. If they're the wrong lines or some of the lines are wrong, the whole thing is wrong. So there's no room. So you have to just, you know, I don't know. I lost the track of what I was saying. That was also a thing. I got that whole, you know, mysterious part of it, of the presentation of the work, was something that I got reinforced a couple of times through this whole thing where, hey, I really like how dreamlike that looks. And I'd be like, yay, somebody likes the part of a thing that I made. So I should keep doing that.
How hard has it been, though? I mean, honestly, from starting Instagram, before starting Instagram or Twitter, social media, you know, being an artist before and after. Because before that, you know, I couldn't imagine it would have taken a lot longer to put your stuff in front of more people before social media. And now that we have social media and, like, you know, trying to deal with putting stuff out and the pressure and try not to conform to what people want. How has this whole learning curve been for you so far?
Well, it hasn't been that hard. The learning curve hasn't been that hard, but as such, but I wasn't exploiting it in some ways because I've been on Twitter since 2008, but I wasn't posting art all the time there. In fact, now it's rare that I will post a thought and I will just post art. But my Twitter following isn't that huge. None of my followings are huge. I'm not topping even 500 anywhere. I'm not even approaching 500 anywhere. And with the changes, just in a short-term change, all the algorithm changes on Instagram have just been, you really discouraging. Because I would feel like I was making some momentum and then an algorithm would change and it'd be just another, you know, blow to the head.
Right.
But in a broader perspective, that's part of the gig. It's the artist's gig, is to continually get hit in the head by everything and to not stop, regardless. So going back, two more algorithm changes, I'm still stuck. I'm still grinding in the same spot and I'm looking for other places. And some places I won't go at all. Like, you know, as close to Facebook as I'm going to get is Instagram, because I hate Facebook. I loathe Facebook on a lot of levels, from their business practices to, you know, all the stuff that's coming out lately, you know, everything else. It felt like Kmart to me. Walmart, I guess, is the more, that shows you how old I am, Kmart.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though. I mean, I used to shop at Kmart when there were Kmarts.
And did it ever feel plastic to you? I mean, like the whole thing is even more artificial than most stores feel. Did it just feel, you know, like you walked into like a Tupperware
blue light case? Special?
Yeah. Totally. And I felt like that when I was a kid, when I went into those places, like, what is wrong with this place? You know, and I'm a little kid. I don't know what's wrong, but something's wrong. There's just something wrong with this place. I don't want to be here. And Walmart gives me the same vibe, and Target only a little bit less so. But going back to Facebook feels like that. And it's like, you know, the trouble is what few IRL friends I have are all on Facebook. All
right.
So I like pop in once a year, or once every 6 months, and say, hey, I'm not dead. I love you guys, but I hate this place. Bye.
Yeah, I can understand that. I don't use my Facebook account nearly as much as I should. I mean, I've deleted it like, I don't know, like 4 times or so. But the thing is, my mother and my mom refuses to get a Facebook, but she has family and she wants to know what we're all up to. So I gave my mom my password. And occasionally I'll delete Facebook, forgetting that. Like, my mom's had my Facebook account, like, we've had it shared for, I don't know, like 5 or 6 years or so. And I'll forget that she has a password, and I'll just get, you know, like, delete it. And then I'll get a text message from her the next day. What happened? I can't log in. I'm like, oh, I forgot. I've done that more than one time. But, you know, I just don't ever really use it. But it's mainly for her sake to have it. But, yeah. So going from there, it's almost the next decade. What are some things that you're looking forward to, or goals that you have going into the next year, let alone the next 10 years?
Oh, God. I usually don't have a huge plan. The big, huge plan is make a living at this. You know, the details change all the time. Right now, because of how things they are kind of stalled. I'm looking to, you know, maybe I'm not exploiting everything that I could possibly be doing. I'm not hustling hard enough. I'm not thinking outside of what I usually do. And it's made me complacent. So, like, well, what if I start doing conventions? what would I sell there? And I'm not looking at jumping into big shows or whatever. I'm talking localish small shows.
Yeah, like farmers markets or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not a bad
craft
idea.
Craft shows. I mean, mall shows. I mean, I don't care. And whatever I can logistically do. Because it's just me. I don't have anybody, you know, watching my back. So, you know, what do I do when I need to go to the bathroom? What do I do? You know.
That's when you get on Facebook and you tell a friend to come out and help you.
You know, I have a cat. How many days can I be gone and let her roam free in the room? You know, that stuff. And, but it might be the key to expanding the audience You know, and then there's, you know, what do I sell there? You know, how do I sell it? You know, I've got tons of advice at my fingertips how to do that from knowledgeable people who, you know, run the gamut from doing really well at those shows to that's their whole business. And so, you know, I have no fear of getting at least decent advice, but I haven't committed to that yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like you have your, it sounds like you have your pros and cons list out. So what would be the determining factor for you to actually like type into Google craft fairs in your area to set something up?
I have made that search, not lately, but I have made that search. My area, I live in the middle of California.
Right.
And not too many local shows, but there are some. When I did do that Google search, I was surprised to see, hey, there's a show here, there's a show there. And I'm like, wow, really? You know, there was even a list of small stuff. And I'm like, holy cow. But, you know, because back when I was a kid, there was nothing. So, so yeah, I just have to make the leap. I just have to, you know, do it. And I haven't committed to that yet. I keep making excuses like, well, I should expand the stuff I have, you know, I should do other stuff, I should make more stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to fall in the trap of, well, you should make fan art. I don't hate fan art. I love fan art, but I don't want to make fan art. Yeah. Some of my favorite artists do nothing but fan art and I love and adore their work, but it's not me. It would be false if I did it, you know, and so I have to decide. It's like, you know, will this be too weird? And like, I've heard plenty of people saying, you know, well, I've done weird stuff and it went over really well because no one else was doing it at the tiny show I was at and I made a killing, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know. I just have to pull the trigger on it. That's all.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll. When that time comes, it'll happen. I did want to ask you one more thing, though. What does your art aim to say?
Oh, God. I have no idea. That's one of those. I get that question from art students every once in a while, or an art student that comes on to my thing and say, well, what were you thinking when you did this? It's like, reality is, maybe I just wanted to make a face that day. And from that face, all this other crazy crap spilled out. Or, you know, it's the stuff with the vaguest idea always comes over better with people than when I plan it out. When I do this whole orchestrated, you know, idea and plan it to the very end and, you know, hopefully pull it off, people are like, meh. But if I wing something off the top of my head, people are like, wow, that's cool. So sketches get the same response because sketches are uninhibited. You're just spewing stuff onto the page without much extra thoughts and survive and breathe. And love that. And it's like, but I can't think I can make a living off of sketches. So.
No, but you know what? Do you know what TikTok is?
Yeah, I do.
You know, there's artists that are on there too. Have you thought about using that?
Yes and no. I've been kind of reluctant to using stuff, you know, going that route necessarily. I do probably should push into social media realms that don't necessarily accommodate, you know, the usual. But I just haven't, I haven't done the research yet.
I mean, it's not as scary as you think, Mark.
Okay.
No, I'm only saying that because I recently just started using it too. But like, I honestly downloaded that app earlier this year and I got on it and I was like, what the heck is this? And I just uninstalled it, you know, but I just picked it up again the last month. Totally putting stuff on there that is not your technical, what people would use TikTok for, like mine, you know, and it's actually worked out really, really well for me because like there are all like, it's just, I think it's the next place where people are going to look at stuff. And there are people all types of ages on there. It's not just, teenagers and children anymore. They're like full on, you know, people older than you and I on there a lot. And there's like a lot of people on it because they want to see stuff that's funny. They want to see stuff that's like popular, what's going on. So I don't know. That might be something. It might be like, for instance, I put a video up on there of me, like when I take my levitation photos, I put a video on there of me recording myself how I do levitation photos. So like in the video, it's like a timer is going off and then I'll jump at the right time and it goes through that for a couple of times. And then at the end of the video, I'll put the finished photo on there. And I put stuff like that on there. Anyway, so I just was like throwing stuff together, like what am I going to put? And I put that on there. And so far, it's gotten 700,000 views already, this one that I put up like 2 weeks ago. And it's not me trying to be funny. It's not me doing like some Vine type of one-liner. You know, it's just literally me jumping in front of a camera with the finished photo. Because it appeals to all the people on TikTok that are, you know, photographers and stuff like that. And there's a lot of people on there. And likewise, like in your, what I'm telling you this is because there are artists that I follow on there that they literally will like upload a time lapse of their art. Like there's a huge art community on there too, because people like looking at art and like how people do their processes. So there are people on there that they'll upload time lapses, or they'll do like little bits and pieces of like what they're working on, or like they'll draw a face or they'll sketch on there. And you know, that stuff is really receptive. Like it really is. So that might be something to look into, because I was totally surprised. I'm putting stuff on there that's like really photography and Photoshop related, and it's getting noticed. So artists are doing the same thing and they're getting noticed too. It's that whole platform has transitioned from, you know, trying to be funny to actually like people in real life doing things. So that might be a good route to go if you want to jump into the social media again that's not Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah, I jumped, remember Vero?
Yep.
Yeah, I jumped into that early, and then I did a little background research into how scummy the owner of that was, and then I jumped right out. So since then I've been, you know, I give every new thing the side eye, because I'm not sure, you know, I'm going to wait. I'm going to let it stew and find out if there's anything I should be aware of before I do anything, commit to anything now. Cause
I can understand that, but I'm just saying like, I think you might be surprised if you put some stuff on there.
But you mentioned time lapses, and that was a thing I was going to do more of. I've done a tiny few of them and stopped doing them after a while. I think part because they make me really self-conscious. That's why I don't stream either, because I find it inhibits me making something, because I'm too self-conscious of, you know, there's somebody looking over my shoulder while I do this. Nobody looks over my shoulder when I make stuff. So, you know, that's just a failing, I think, on my part. I need to, you know, address that. Just, you know, whatever.
Looks like the list is piling on for next year, Mark. What? It looks like the list is getting bigger for stuff you got to work out for next year.
Oh, God. usually I have like a goal, and, you know, it may not be necessarily a business goal but now those things are becoming important. Maybe they should have been important from the start, but I was too deep into trying not to suck. And I don't think about it until later. And now it's still later. And because I've gotten so much better, I need to get still better, but now I've reached a certain level to where now, hey, maybe I should work on monetizing. Maybe I should learn what monetizing is. Maybe I should actually read a few business books. That kind of thing. So I don't necessarily have any, I don't usually make those goals till the end of the year. And since I throttled back on my work this year, I have more headspace for it. Because usually I'm burned out. By December, I'm burnt. You know, creatively, I'm burnt. But since I kind of slowed things down, I don't feel that right now. So I might be able to actually make some concrete plans. I just don't know what they are right now.
It's exciting. It's an exciting feeling. I mean, it's, I like that what you're describing right now. It's to me, that sounds exciting to not know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, this year was really kind of, I did not have an idea going into this year. That took me aback. That really shook me a little bit because, you know, every year prior to this, I've had a plan. I had some sort of goal, you know, maybe somewhat vague, but it's a goal. It's like, I'm going to make these certain things. I'm going to do these certain things and I'm going to put them up. I'm going to do them in this order and blah, blah, blah. And this year it was blank. I had nothing. And I think in part was because, what's giving me some traction right now, what little bit I have in, say, Twitter, is because I hopped onto those. That's how I think how you found me, right? Was I hopped onto one of those artist appreciation threads.
Yep.
And I'm not hopped on every one of them, but I do them occasionally because I still have that, you know, I don't want to make a pest of myself, even though that's the point.
Right.
You know, in some ways it's like, you know, are you guys getting too much of me? Are you sick of my crap already? You know, I shouldn't be on this thread, so I'm not going to do it. I also had hopped on to, I did Inktober for 2 years, which doesn't seem like a lot, but, you know, 31 pieces is a lot.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. I totally believe it.
And last year, I wanted those pieces to be really, really good. So I started 2 months out. So I started in like August. I put myself on a schedule. I need to do X number of pieces per week, you know, going from August 1st on. At the same time, I'm posting every single day. And I didn't realize how exhausting that would be. And by the end of it, by the end of September, I was in this, you know, headspace. And I had cranked out 31 pieces, trashed 10 of them, and redid them. So I did 40 pieces for Inktober. And then when I started posting for Inktober on October 1st, I trashed 5 more and redid those before the month was out. So, you know, I'm almost to 50 feet. You know, I'm on this pace. So I was going to use October since I had all of October filled out, right? I didn't have to do anything extra. It was all done. It was all there. I was going to rest in October, but I was just so tired. I was still drawing every day. I always draw every day. No matter what I say, this whole interview, I draw every single day. But I had nothing. There was nothing new. I was just doing root, you know, technical exercises that whole month. So when October was done, I was like, what do I do now? Because I'm burnt out. even though Instagram is very forgiving for throwbacks, I mean, I did a throwback today. I'm not always comfortable with doing throwbacks. I want people to see new things. I want to make new things. And yeah, so that burnout burned me out through the rest of the whole, you know, Christmas season, basically. So when it came, you know, the end of December, and I'm like, okay, what are we going to do in 2019? I was like, I don't know. I had no idea because I'm just empty. And that was really discouraging, and it was depressing. It was sad. I just felt sad. It's like, what am I doing? You know, I have no plan. What am I doing? So the only plan was to just make whatever. That was the plan. So that's what I've been doing this year. It's just whatever pops out of my head. And I told people at the beginning of October that, you know, I want to transition out of darker work. So the whole idea was I was going to cathartically just spew it this month. You know, whatever nasty thing comes out of my head, comes out of my head, and I'm going to put it in front of you. And it burned out with those four charcoal pieces. After I'd done those four pieces, I was like, you know what? I don't have anything dark in there anymore. Does that mean it permanently? No, but right this moment, I have got nothing. So I don't know. We'll see.
I'm sure
that was a ramble.
No, it's good. I mean, let it out. but I do want to, since you bring that up again, lastly, I wanted to ask you, where can people actually find your work online, Mark?
I'm on Instagram under M Stroud. And Twitter, I'm Mark_Stroud. I'm also on ArtStation. You can just look Mark Stroud on ArtStation. On DeviantArt, I'm Progressive Modern, one word. I should change that, but I'm lazy. Where else am I?
But on your Twitter, you have links to all your stuff pretty much, right?
Yes, but I'm not as active on Twitter as I am on Instagram. I'm probably the most active there. The other places have ArtStation tends to get the cream of the crop of my work because the level there is higher overall. Because people, you know, ArtStation is for pros looking for jobs. So it's going to have the best of the best of my stuff. Which doesn't mean it's going to get posted, you know, every week. Right. Even though I hear that's the thing to do. But, you know, I'm trying to sell to artists. I'm trying to sell to everybody else that's interested. Another business thing I got to work on. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's pretty much it.
So artstation.com/Mark Stroud. And that's STROUD.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Mark, I appreciate you wanting to come on the show and let everybody know a little bit about you and your process and what you've learned with the social media and things that you're doing now. Thanks for taking the time, honestly, to come on and share about yourself. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. It was a joy.
Is there anything you wanted to say before the segment's over?
Let's see. Well, just this is probably the pithy general thing for artists, but yeah, it really is a marathon. It's really about not quitting. As discouraging as things have been, and they'll continue to be discouraging as you work. So what's more important to you, the work or, you know, all the other extra stuff. So, you know, just continue to work, just keep pressing ahead. It's the only way I got better. And if you're new and you're struggling and it's, you know, it's discouraging to see people ahead of you and it's like, oh my God, I'm never going to be that good. Guess what? If you don't quit, you will be that good. You will catch up. If you really grind hard, you might go past where you thought was good. There's a lot of stuff I thought was good early on that isn't as good as I thought it was. But then the people that were doing it, if they kept going, they're even better. So you just keep going. You know, don't quit.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark.
Yeah. Thanks. It was great.
All right. Once again, you can find Mark online at artstation.com/Mark Stroud. And one more time, Mark, your Instagram for everyone.
Is M Stroud on Instagram.
And that's MSTROUD.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark. I hope you have a good rest of the day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, folks, for tuning in to another episode of Behind the Mic. We had Mark Stroud on. Thank you for taking the time to listen to somebody else's story, and I'll see you in the next episode.